Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion. The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. The story of Jesus' ascension is told twice in the New Testament. They're consistent accounts. One adds a little more detail. Both told by Luke, he ascends into heaven. He's taken out of their sight. Does that mean he is taken out of their presence or that his disciples have been taken out of his presence? We're going to talk about the ascension of Jesus according to Luke 24 and Acts 1. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Since Jesus has ascended into heaven, we're waiting his return. Does that mean he's gone?
Yes, a lot of people may imagine that if you ascend into heaven, then how could he be here also on earth? But we need to understand that what heaven is the place that he is with God the Father. And since they're omnipresent, which means they are present everywhere, he's also with us. In fact, it was very good, some of the Bible verses put out by the Enduring Faith CPH Bible curriculum. And their main one is from Matthew 28, verses 20, when Jesus gives them the instructions about baptizing. He also says in verse 20, I am with you always. So just think about the Garden of Eden. God was in heaven, but he also was walking with Adam and Eve, it says, in the midst of the Garden of Eden. And so just as in that situation, so also in our situation, if you're a member of the Holy Christian Church, that means that he is walking with you and he is with you. And in fact, part of the benefits of being baptized is you not only have the Holy Spirit within you, who also is in heaven, but you also have Jesus in with you, and of course you receive his very body and blood in the sacrament. So that's another example of how Jesus is present, even though he has ascended into heaven.
So Tom, tell us the story of the ascension as we find it in the last chapter of Luke, and then the first chapter of the book of Acts.
Yes. Beginning with verse 44 in Luke 24, he is with his disciples, and he says to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now, what does this remind us of? This reminds us of a recent Emmaus walk that Jesus had prior to his ascension with two disciples who were totally confused about why did he die and what's this about him being raised. Jesus met with them, and what did he do? He opened their minds, and that's also in verse 45 of Luke 24, to understand the scriptures. And he was using the law of Moses, and that law then doesn't refer to the Ten Commandments. It's the same word law, but it refers to the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and the prophets and the Psalms. In other words, all the Old Testament writings. And what is he saying about them? Very specific in verse 46. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, what does he mean that it is written? That means it's in the Old Testament. And I recently did a study on the Old Testament prophecies as found in the New Testament and found over 300 of them that are specifically mentioned in the New Testament. And I'm sure Jesus used a number of them, because that's what is meant by opening up the scriptures to understand it. He was explaining the necessity of his death. I'll just use one verse from Isaiah 53, that he was smitten of God and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was declared as sinner from his baptism and died on the cross with the sins of the world upon himself. Now, this is all foretold in the Old Testament. And then Jesus says, and you are witnesses of these things. So, what is he doing with them as witnesses? I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. That's verse 49. What's this promise of the Father? Well, it's found in Genesis 3:15, where through the seed of Eve will come a Savior, the Messiah, who, yes, he'll be wounded by Satan, but he will also crush the head of Satan. And then he says, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Well, what's he speaking about there? Well, that's Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit will come to the disciples and they'll even be given the ability to speak in other tongues to do what? To witness these things that Jesus is speaking of. So after saying this, verse 50, he leads them out as far as Bethany, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, this is verse 51, Luke 24, he parted from them and were carried up into heaven. Now, that word heaven also has different meanings in the Bible. But it can mean, in this case, he was carried up into the clouds of heaven. It'd be referring to the atmosphere, etc. But it also can refer that he was carried up into his Father's right hand. Now, what did the disciples do? Verse 52, and they worshiped him, which acknowledges his divinity. And when they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, verse 53, this is the last verse of Luke, they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, how are they blessing God? They were witnessing about Jesus Christ. Now, Luke doesn't stop there, although it's the end of the gospel according to St. Luke, but we recognize that Luke was also the inspired writer of the book of Acts, where he even talks to this individual that he's teaching about Jesus. His name is Theophilus, which means brother of God. And he says, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, and he's referring to his ascension, after he had given commands. Now, what were the commands? He repeats them from Luke, through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God, which is nothing other than the Holy Christian Church. Now, the Sunday school lesson continues then with what is entitled the Ascension from the book of Acts. This is the same ascension that Luke wrote about at the ending of his first book, but he starts the second book, namely the Acts of the Apostles, with this same event. So, verse 6, Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, of course, they're hoping that that will be an earthly kingdom, that it will be renewing Israel back to its former grandeur, maybe getting rid of the Romans, having temple worship and all this sort of thing. But Jesus is now ready to tell them. He says in verse 7, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now, what's Jesus talking about? For him, the restoration of the kingdom will come to fulfillment at what we call Judgment Day, when those of us who are Christian have died and our bodies in the ground will have those bodies be restored to our spirits that are already in heaven at the very moment of our death, awaiting the time of Judgment Day. And we will be restored, and it is going to be called the Kingdom of Israel. Now, is that just for Jews? No. Israel, if you look at Romans 9 through 11, is very clear from the Apostle Paul that the new Israel is really the Holy Christian Church. And it's composed not only of Jews who are believers, but also Gentiles. And we saw that at Pentecost, where many Gentiles had come to worship at the temple, and what, 3,000 were baptized in one day. So, it is not for us to know when that day of judgment is coming. The only thing I've often said is I know when it's not coming. And that is the day when certain religion says, this is the day it will come. And they'll make a date. And people sell their houses and their possessions. And of course, the day after that date, they wonder, what did I do? But then these religions, they say, well, we were off a little bit. It's another date. Well, those are the only dates I know he's not coming, because it says he's going to come as a thief in the night when least expected. But that's not the purpose of what Jesus is saying at the ascension, to tell when he's going to return. His purpose is once more to save other people. So beginning with verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's again referring to Pentecost. And you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it would be like me saying to people who are in my congregations I'm serving that you are witnesses in Macomb, Illinois, and in the state of Illinois, and in the United States, and if you travel overseas to whatever country you go to, you can still be witnesses. Because being a witness is to tell the story of what Jesus has done for the whole world. Now, the disciples are intently looking at him. Verse 9, Acts 1. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So, just like in Luke, he went into the heaven through a cloud. And we know that heaven there is referring to the atmosphere, not to where God the Father is, because verse 10 says, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went. So they're not gazing at the throne of God like is found in Daniel or in Revelation, but they are gazing into the clouds as he went. And guess what? Something new Luke tells us in Acts that he didn't inform us in the last chapter of his gospel. Two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And that's taught in Thessalonians. It's taught in Matthew when the sheep and the goats are spoken about, when Jesus is going to be returning. And he's coming in the same way. He's coming as a human being. I had once asked my Sunday school teachers, when I taught them the Sunday school lessons, I asked the question, Jesus is in heaven. Is he still a human being? And we had about eight teachers there, and two of them did not think he was a human being anymore. So I had the opportunity to share with them that he is still a human being. I mean, Hebrews says he sympathizes with us as a human being. So Jesus, well, there's a number of distinctions about Jesus that are really important here. First of all, he has two natures. He's human and he's divine. He has two states, his state of humiliation up to the point of the cross, and then from the resurrection on, his state of exaltation. And those are explained in the Apostles' Creed, with the first state of exaltation, by the way, being the descent into hell. But in the ascension, there is another set of distinctions we need to know about, and that's Jesus' three offices, office of prophet, priest, and king. And where did they come from? Well, in the Old Testament, God used prophets, priests, and kings to rule the nation Israel. Some of them wrote books inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we have King David, and we have priests. Then in the New Testament, Jesus is the prophet proclaiming the word of God about the kingdom of heaven coming upon people. He's a priest, and he did both things that the priest in the Old Testament did. He prayed, taught his disciples to pray, and he sacrificed, but not animals, he sacrificed himself. And he's also king in his ascension, in that he holds the whole world in his hands. This is very comforting to the Sunday school children to know that Jesus is with them at all times, that they can pray to God the Father because Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. And when they speak the word of God, it is Jesus who is with them, who's also taking that word of God, the means of grace, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people to become believers so that they are saved. So had Jesus not ascended, he would not be our heavenly prophet, priest, and king. And that's a really important part of the catechism to look at, where that is more fully explained. And I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to take a look at that. And so that's kind of a quick summary of the Ascension. You could do about 10 sermons on the Ascension, but that's a quick summary of what we have from Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest host of the radio show Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. When we come back to where we started, if Jesus is ascended, many say he can't be bodily present in the Lord's Supper. He can't be in two or more places at one time. We'll get Tom's response next.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're beginning to wrap up our journey through Hebrews. The Lord's discipline, striving for holiness, you have come to Mount Zion, exhortations, and Jesus Christ the same forever. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
The world around us raises all sorts of reasons why Christ could not have risen from the dead. The April issue of the Lutheran Witness discusses how we can, in fact, know that Christ rose from the dead. Adam Francisco answers resurrection objections. Kirk Clayton explains how the Bible proves Christ's resurrection, and there's so much more. Here, Lutherans have an opportunity. For a world focused on fear of death and COVID-19, we can point them to the resurrected Christ. To learn more about this, visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Pastor Tom Baker is leading us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' ascension in Luke 24 and in Acts 1. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. In about 5 minutes, we'll talk with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about the impact of coronavirus on our children. So, Tom, let's go back to where we began. Many Christians would say if Jesus is ascended and they want to affirm his humanity, that's a good thing. He can't then be bodily present in the Lord's Supper. He can't be in two or more places at one time. How would you respond?
I would first of all use Scripture where it appears on the day of his resurrection, Jesus was in a number of places at the same time. I mean, the trip to the upper room, the trip to the road to Emmaus, the trip he made to speak to the women. I mean, those are three times he was present on the same day. So Jesus can be in two different places, even if it is at the same time. We also know that after his ascension, he appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He even spoke to him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And there are a couple of other occasions when Paul says that he was with Jesus. Remember, after his conversion, he was in the desert for some time being taught by Jesus. I know this because I asked Todd that question before our lesson today, and he reminded me of that. And so it's clear from the Bible that Jesus also was speaking to John during the book of Revelation. Now, we'll say, yes, it was a vision, but that occurred on earth. John was on the island of Patmos. He was not up in heaven hearing Jesus. He was on the island of Patmos in a vision. So it's clear that Jesus, as a human being, can be on earth while he still has ascended into heaven. Then you just take a look at the words. This is my body. This is my blood. He doesn't say this represents my body, which will be up in heaven, or represents my blood. No, the bread and wine in with and under them somehow were receiving the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. But when you have false doctrine that says, well, if he's in heaven, he can't be on earth, then you have to change the obvious meaning of the scripture, as you made clear here, Todd, and instead come up with a new understanding of the Lord's Supper that cannot be found in scripture.
Finally then, Tom, with about 30 seconds, what is the law and gospel application for Jesus' ascension?
Yes, I really do appreciate the CPH Enduring Faith item on this. They say the law is, and I agree, that we often are active in our own lives as though Jesus is not active in our life, that he's not around. During this virus, Jesus is still with every one of us, working things to our good and not allowing anything to happen to a Christian that is not according to his will, which will work out to their good. Even if they die, then they're with Jesus immediately. And the gospel is, that's true, because when he ascended into heaven, not only to prepare a place for us in the future, but also promising while he was about to ascend, as that Bible verse CPH uses, I am with you always. Matthew 28, verse 20.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Learn more about Law and Gospel on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Joy Pullman is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about the impact of coronavirus on children, especially the closing of their schools. Stay tuned. Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio. Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. Redeemer Lutheran, Los Alamos, New Mexico. St. John Lutheran, Paulina, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Irvine, California. And Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.